You know, and I celebrate the Sacrament of Reconciliation, and somebody will come in and we give them a penance. And then let's just say it was a pretty serious confession, you know, for them that something had done terribly wrong, you know, whatever it is. And then I would say, well, for your penance, I'm going to ask you to do something very kind for someone. What would it be? And they say, well, you know, I could, I could give my wife a kiss before I go to bed and tell her how much I love her. So good. And then pray an Our Father for each person in your family, you know, as this way. And if it was a very serious confession, they would say, Father, I have to do more than that. That's not enough. That's not, you know, almost like you need to be giving me more penance than that for what I've done. This is not enough. And it's something, and I said, you know what? As a matter of fact, it is enough, because for one thing, God's forgiveness is free, and your penance is only your resolve to change, a spiritual medicine, to show God your desire to change. You know, penance does not guarantee or what it would force God tend to forgive you. You know, it says it does, and but there's something that says, for everything I've done, it's got to be bigger than that. It can't be as simple as a couple of Our Fathers, that, like, as if what God couldn't forgive you with just a couple of Our Fathers, right? I mean, you need more than that, it seems. What are you looking for? Do you want, you know, just drag me through the, make me do terrible penances, and then I'll know that God's forgiven me. I'm like, you know, that's not the way it works. There's something within us that seems to kind of want something more, it seems, something greater. It can't be as simple as the words of absolution and entrusting myself into God's mercy. I have to have something more for that. Same thing, kind of like what I love about Mass, you know, it's like, you know, I'm telling you, you come here, we get okay singing, and we get okay preaching, and we get a half a congregation that sometimes responds, and God is present. No, it can't be that God is present. It's got to be something more, like the young people, they need something bigger. So if God were actually to be present, there must be, like, you know, thundering or something, and some light switches that go on and off, and that shows that there's something. God, we're looking for something grandiose. And that's what we see in today's first reading. You know, when Naaman has this leprosy, this idea he's been given that he doesn't go into the great waters for the cure, right? And that's, as you hear, and I think it's really great, you know, because first it's like where he says, come on, aren't the rivers of Damascus much better? You're asking me to go into that little puny river? I'm asking to be cured for leprosy. And you're asking me, you're going to cure me for leprosy, and you're asking me just to go in the water and dunk my head? It's got to be something more, right? Wouldn't you like kind of wave your hand over, it says, you know, and do move your hand over the spot and thus cure the leprosy? So something sort of really magical. It can't be as simple as that. And that's what I, you know, and it's like, that's all you need to do. And of course, finally, he obeys, he does it, and he's cured. And what I think is, it's, to me, it's always a great reminder that we search for something in the experience of God as something spectacular. And the scriptures keep talking about something very basic. It's like, God dwells in your family, in your holy family. And it's like, he can't dwell here. Not the way we fight, and not the way I lose my dad. Yeah, it's as simple as that. That's where you need to look for God. You want to say, you know, I need some healing for some very difficult time. I say, you know what? Sit some time in prayer. So before the Blessed Sacrament, just quiet yourself down before the Blessed Sacrament. That's what you need. No, I need something more. Maybe I need to pay like $50,000 to a psychologist. He's the one. That's how it's going to work. Because it's got to be big, and it's got to be great, and it's got to be, you know, that's the way we want it. It's like, you got to, you know, and I said, no, maybe if you quietly pray, over time, God will begin to heal the soul. And there's something too simple about it. And my favorite example is always Mass. It's like, you know what? Jesus toast bread and wine. It's way too simple. It's almost worth nothing. I can't believe you're telling me that is where God is present? I say, yeah. It's that simple. It seems like it should be more, maybe. It's got to be something worth a lot more then. And it's like, that's not what the faith is about. And trying to get our young people, when they're taking a look at God, to stop looking at the spectacular shows, this, you know, and that they see on TV, where that's what catches their attention. And that's why I think God is often so much overlooked, is overlooked, because it's way too easy. It's way too simple. It's not, it just, You know, it's so simple that we miss it too often. And often the way God is curing, even in the Old Testament, and then when he talks about hearing him, and he wanted to hear him in the thunder, and he wanted to hear him in the lightning, and then he heard him in the whisper. And then he knew God was present. That's really the God we're talking about. That's where the faith begins. And it's tough when we are in a culture that just loves the grandiose, the bigger the yacht, the bigger the car, the more fancier, the bigger the house. That's what really matters and means something to us and really attracts us and catches our attention. And that's why God is way too easily overlooked. Because it, over and over again, and in today's reading reminds us. And then that's one of the reasons why in the gospel, where they just can't seem to accept Jesus. Because he's saying, look, yeah, it's never going to be accepted. He's, it can't be. You came from Nazareth. We know you're from, it can't be you. And so for us today, as we go throughout the day, taking a look at the eyes of another person in our family to recognize that kind of love and attraction, that's where God is present. That's where we must focus on. And all these other things that are part of the catching and the what I often feel like is with the shallowness of attraction and spectacularism and grandiosism, those are all shallow because they come and they go. But the quiet presence of God is what remains. And that's where you look for God's presence.